The rib injury, which actually happened on that first long run, did play some snaps after, but did not look like himself, ended up watching the game from the sideline. My understanding is his status for this Sunday's big-time showdown with the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams, a game so attractive it was actually flexed to the 4 p.m. spot, that is now very much in doubt. It is not a major injury. This is not something that's going to keep him out multiple games, but from my understanding, this is something to monitor, something to watch. It's something where it really depends on how he responds to treatment. You know, during the game, his mom, Regina, tweeted, he's fine. And that was kind of the last anyone said of it. Dan Quinn talking to reporters today saying, well, he's week to week, but he hopes that Jaden Daniels will be out Sunday. This is their franchise quarterback. He is someone who has clearly altered the face of their entire organization. They're going to be more cautious than anything when it comes to putting him on the field this Sunday.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. And a welcome in to all of our listeners in Richmond for the first time today. We're live all over the DMV. Flagship 106.7, The Fan. We're live in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1. Take us with you wherever you go via audio, the Odyssey app, and you can watch us on video, 106.7 The Fan's YouTube channel. We're giving away tickets to Disturbed, their concert in town. You got to be listening in 1 hour at 4 if you want those. And we'll be joined by Austin Eckler, a weekly Tuesday segment with the Commanders running back, brought to you by IT Cadre. That comes your way in 2 hours at 5 o'clock here on The Fan. Rappaport said that Daniels' status is very much in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that Dan Quinn said in his press conference yesterday made you think that his status is very much in doubt, if we're using very much in doubt to mean doubtful. Now, I guess, again, I'm diving deep into the wording and the terminology of the diction here, but if he's saying very much in doubt, like, there is question about whether or not he'll play. Those two things can be synonymous. But when you hear the word doubt in football, you're thinking doubtful.
Yeah, there's a designation that correlates to that,
so,
right?
Doubtful, by definition, means there's a 75% chance you're not going to play. So that's where I'm at when I hear he's very much in doubt. Someone's telling him he's doubtful. That means 75% he's not going to play, which in no way matches what we heard from the coach yesterday at the podium. So I ask you, do you think he's very much in doubt is just him not knowing anything more than anybody else saying his status is uncertain? Or do you think Dan Quinn made it seem more positive that he might play yesterday than is actually the case behind the scenes?
Yeah, so it's an important distinction. So to me, this is a Rappaport turn of phrase versus the information, a.k.a. no one knows. It's uncertain. That's different than he's going to be listed as doubtful when the injury report comes
out. That's where I think you got to be careful with your words as a reporter.
Agreed.
Because when you say very much in doubt, that's you saying the player's doubtful. Whereas I think you're right. I think what he's actually saying is there's uncertainty about whether or not he's going to play. Him being on the field is in doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand that, but that's different than how I heard it, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense, yeah. So, and again, this is all pending further tests. I mean, Quinn was even open about that. You know, there's so much here that we don't know. We don't actually know what the exact injury is, as far as I'm aware of, right? I know it's in his ribs. Do you know if it's a rib cartilage? Do you know if it's a bruised rib? Do you know if it's multiple bruised ribs? Do you know if it's a hair? I guess it's not a fracture. We would have had something to that effect.
But to your point, they have been purposefully obtuse about the injury. They keep saying it's a rib. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, they're like, we like how hockey does it. Let's do that.
In the NFL, we don't do that.
I know.
Dislocation versus broken, knee versus ankle, lower body, upper body is a different sport, to your point. So they just keep going, it's a rib, like they're Chris Rock. How much for a rib?
Rib.
One rib. How much for some soda?
Put it in my hand.
We'll get to the phones. 800-636-1067. How would you guys handle it? The show being brought to you by our friends at Kondori and Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament. If you need that done, set up a conversation with them. They'll get you a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. KMLawyers.com. Mention us. Get a discount. KMLawyers.com. So, Danny, what's your prediction? Do you think he plays?
I do. And this is going to be probably the first time since I've said mea culpa, I'm wrong about everything, they were right, I was wrong, they were right. This is going to be kind of the first crossroads to me where I'm going to say, flag in the ground, I disagree with this. I now, again, it may come out that he's totally fine and all the coming out of the game and him wincing and him not even being able to play catch to warm up to go in the game was much ado about nothing and he's fine, you know, 6 days and a few hours later. Maybe. But to me, this is feeling like he's gearing it up and it's going to be billed as this heroic return and how miraculous is this and what a leader he is and all that other kind of stuff. And that's fine. But to me, I think this is throwing caution to the wind when they shouldn't.
I thought yesterday, right after Dan Quinn talked, that he was definitely going to play or definitely strong. I don't think there's such
I had that feeling. Yeah.
But that this was headed toward he's going to play on Sunday. Right now, this moment, and I might change my mind four times, but as we sit here today, I actually lean toward he will not play. And it'll be the abundance of caution. They will bill it as, this sounds like I'm being negative, I'm not, but they'll bill it as, like, you won't believe how hard this kid worked and how much he pushed us and how much he tried and he's the hero and we're the bad guy and we're the villains. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to let the kid play. I think they're going to sell it that way, and they're kind of setting it up to kind of further build the heroic image, so to speak. But right now I'm leaning toward he doesn't play. Part of it is what Rap Sheet said. Part of it is you just hear anybody talking about this, like the reporters, are really being careful about saying he's got a good chance to play. Whereas if you were just listening to what Quinn said, you would absolutely feel like he's got a good chance to play. Tells me somebody somewhere is saying something else. Maybe. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Thomas is in Waldorf on the Fan. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
What's up, buddy?
I want to say I love your show. I want to shout out to everybody, all the Redskins fans in the world. Two things I want to say. I was always a big Dante Fowler fan. If you all remember, during that draft, that night, he was dressed in Redskin colors. A lot of people don't remember that, but Jacksonville took him before us.
That's a hell of a memory. I don't even know.
I do not remember
how
that.
You could possibly remember what he was wearing on draft night.
If y'all Google that, y'all will see he had on like a white tuxedo with a burgundy or yellow something type of tie.
So I'm looking at it here. He's got a white, it's like all white look, like he's going to an all white party. But the outline of the tuxedo is like a reddish burgundy, and he's got a gold bow tie with gold buttons.
Would you look at that?
Exactly. Because he thought that he was going to get drafted by the Redskins. Number two, I was always a big Mariota fan. I wanted the Skins to draft him, so I'm all around happy.
So you're feeling good about the team, but let's get to the business at hand here. How would you handle Jaden Daniels?
I would let him sit. He has nothing else to prove. He's already coming to the league, took the league by storm. I would let him rest and let Mariota, you know, at least for this week, you know, let him rest, let him go through his healing process, do whatever he has to do, and get ready for the rest of the season, because you don't want him to rush into it for this particular game, and then we won't have him for the rest of the year.
I like the reason being shown and the maturation of this fan base here on the phones, the folks that have come on and said, hey, maybe you just right now this moment, shut him down for the week. Now, I wouldn't even go that far, to be honest with you. I am not team, he's not playing Sunday. We're on to the Giants. I'm letting this thing play out. He may well be very, very okay.
Yeah, I'm leaving the door open. If this is somehow miraculously to me, fine. And it's not just, oh, he's
what
cleared.
What would be miraculous about that?
Like he
went right back out to the sideline. He was jumping around, waving his arms.
He was in so much pain he had to come out of the game, and he couldn't toss the ball. Like he tried to toss it to a teammate to warm up, and he couldn't do that.
And an hour and a half later, you would have never known he was hurt as he was hugging people and celebrating for touchdowns.
Otherwise, other than that, he was in street clothes because he had been removed from the game from the pain.
That they were up by 30 points. I think that probably was a factor, too.
I suppose.
I definitely look, we all saw it. He was in pain. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
If that game was tight, would he have played again? I guess we don't know. But, I mean, there's all kinds of things that they, you know, medicines and pills and shots and you kind of, the pain, if it's just a pain thing, the pain can go away for a couple hours. Now, I'm not condoning that. In fact, I've talked to a lot of players who played a long time in the league who fight against feeling good for a couple of hours by any means necessary. But my point is, we don't know. It might have been a very minor thing that was painful. You know, where you've probably had, oh, I'm sure you have,
as yeah, yeah.
Like where something happened that burns, that stings, that hurts, and you're writhing in pain, and a couple hours later, it doesn't hurt anymore. That's
sure.
That's not that crazy. Now, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I'm saying none of us know. And there's just as good a chance of that as this is still going to be hurting in 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from on that. I mean, to me, this isn't a bruise. You know what I mean? It's not like a deep thigh bruise, which is a pain in the butt and hurts and is annoying. But it's like, okay, like I keep saying the same thing. Like the rib, maybe because I'm sensitive because I broke my ribs a few years ago.
He didn't break his ribs.
But like you'd get something going in the rib. It's a different animal, dude.
How much for a rib?
It's about willpower. It's one of those, like, you can't do anything. You cannot breathe. You can't not breathe. You can't lay up. You can't lay down. You can't sit up. You can't walk. You can't do anything when the rib area is hurting. And you can see how excruciating it was for him. But I guess you're right. I mean, he you know, was moving his arms around. And
my point is, if he had when you broke your rib.
Yes.
You know what you wouldn't have done is gone back out onto the sideline to stand around and watch the game and give people high fives and raise your hands for the touchdown and walk off the field going, give me more noise, give me more noise. You would not have been doing any of that.
Well, like an idiot, I actually rode the stationary bike that day thinking it wasn't that bad. And I walked around for a week with broken ribs, like a tool.
Right.
Because I'm stupid.
But again, I apologize that you did that. You would not have been doing any of that stuff that Jaden Daniels was doing.
No.
I think that's a tell. And we are correctly remembering that he didn't come back into the game, that he was sidelined, that he couldn't play, all those things. The game was out of hand. It was 27-0 at halftime. It was over. There was no reason for him to consider playing again. What would have happened if they were down 10-7 and their offense had turned the ball over or punted on every single drive?
After he'd gone to the blue tent and back to the locker room for extra x-rays? I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
But that's kind of my point. I think we're basing it on, well, he didn't play. Well, he wasn't. Even if they checked him out and he was perfectly fine, he wouldn't have played. If he was in the concussion protocol, went back, passed his concussion test, mm-hmm. I'll bet you he wouldn't have played with a full, clear bill of health at that point. Because you're up by 30. He didn't play the fourth quarter against the Browns, and he wasn't hurt. I mean, they're trying to protect him as best they can. Let's go to Leo in Gaithersburg on the Fan. What's up, Leo?
Fellas, what's up? Yeah, he's not playing. I wouldn't play him, especially because you got a linebacker or safety on the Bears, and they see number 5 behind the line of scrimmage on Sunday. They're going to be targeting that area, trying to re-aggravate it or further injure it, what have you.
Exactly, yeah.
Well. So, yeah, this isn't the NHL, unfortunately. So, and secondly, I think they're handling it perfectly because now the Bears have to prepare for either Jaden Daniels or Mariota because they both have very different skill sets.
Do they?
I think so.
What's different? I mean, they ran the same offense. Mariota ran read option. If anything, they threw the ball down the field to the middle of the field more, but there wasn't really much else.
I think with a week. Yeah, because, Mariota didn't take the first-team reps last week. I think this week, if Mariota's taking the first-team reps, Cliff's going to have a little different playbook for him.
Okay.
He's an older quarterback. I think he's more pocket-oriented. Just milk it out and put him as questionable up until the last minute.
Yeah, so that last part I love. I love there's
thank you for the call,
there's
Leo.
No incentive to be like, guys, I have the early scoop. Here's what's happening this weekend. This is... If you're allowed gamesmanship, take advantage of it. Go ahead. Feel free. Explore the space.
Yeah, that's an important thing to bring up. I'm glad he did. And I asked you this a few minutes ago. Dan Quinn pretty obviously had everybody relax. This isn't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. We're going to track him closely this week. He may or may not play, but we're hoping he can. Press conference. That's what he had.
Yes.
They might already know behind the scenes, we're not going to play him this week. There's no reason to push it. There's no reason to rush it. Let's just play Mariota, and he'll be ready for the Giants at 100%. I took his press conference to be extremely honest, forthright, like him just stepping up to the challenge of the fan base is concerned about the kid. Let's give him the real here. Let's give him as much info as we can. It might actually be the exact opposite, where they know a lot more internally, and he goes, let's play the football game. Let's play the coach's game. I'll say one thing. They'll think he might play at least until Thursday or Friday when the word gets out, and then Marcus Mariota will play after all.
Yeah, it's two birds with one stone because you're saying, "Hey, he's not going on IR. That you can't hide, right?" And fans get to be relaxed and take a breath. And two, right now, did I use A or one first? I think I actually said A. So B. So A, fans get to exhale. B, right now, when they install their game plan on Wednesday, talking about the Bears, Eric Washington, Matt Eberflus, and company are going, we need to prepare for Marcus Mariota. It's not that big a difference, but there is a difference.
That's where you lose me, though. A, I don't know that there's a difference. I mean, in terms of player, there is. Jaden Daniels is better than Marcus Mariota. So, inevitably, if Daniels doesn't play, it's just a relief that they're going to feel that now you deal with Mariota, who doesn't do things at the same level. But in terms of style of play, it's not like they're going from Jaden Daniels to Derek Carr as their backup.
No, I understand that.
It's basically they're going to run the same formations, the same designs, the same looks. We just saw it. The offense was identical.
We did, but you also are going to see tendencies, right? Whereas Mariota, I'm making this up, Mariota wants to hit this at this time, where Daniels is more comfortable hitting this at that exact same moment. You need to study those sorts of things and be prepared for it to call the right defense.
And I think they will. I mean, they're going to prepare for both guys probably.
And that's what I want to make them do.
Let's go to Sean in Falls Church on the Fan. What's up, Sean?
How are we doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Sir.
Yeah, no, I think that you guys are you know, hitting the nail on the head. I think that, yes, obviously Jaden Daniels is not Marcus Mariota, but at the same time, I think that you have to prepare differently. And I think that in terms of what Dan Quinn was saying, yes, he's hopeful that, Jaden Daniels will play. I'm hopeful that the Capitals will win 4 Stanley Cups and that my Tottenham Hotspur will win the Premier League. Yes, that's definitely going to be up there. I don't think it necessarily will happen. And the thing that really stands in the way, I think, is kind of the play that stands in my mind is the throw that Jaden Daniels made to Terry McLaurin in the Bengals game. He knew he was taking the hit, and he threw it, and he took the hit, and it, you know, it went off great, and he didn't get hurt. But if you have a rib injury and you are just getting unloaded upon in the rib area with your arm outstretched, yeah, that's huge, and I do not want to see that happen. I think he sits.
Well, I will say that yesterday in the presser, Dan Quinn basically said something to the effect of he's not going to be at risk of taking hits and it being worse or something like that. Like, they're not going to pad it up more, put a flak jacket on. It's not that kind of injury. You know, like a cracked rib where now you can't get hit in the ribs. It's more of, it sounds like more of a pain management threshold kind of injury. But you're right. When you're in the pocket, just the idea, you saw it when he ran twice after that.
Uh-huh.
Immediately went to the ground, avoided contact, didn't want anything to do with anybody around his rib. It was like a, you know, like an injured dog that you pin down to pet, and they're like, oh, don't touch me.
Yeah, not there.
You know, you can't play quarterback in the pocket that way. There's no doubt. Chris in Hyattsville, what's good?
First, I just want to say Tone in Long Island or wherever he's from is my favorite caller other than myself.
You put yourself one and Tone two on the caller rankings?
Well, I'm definitely number one in the rankings, in my opinion.
In the CH poll, Chris and Hyattsville poll.
The Hyattsville power rankings, preseason poll.
Yeah, and the Ken Palm of Grant and Danny callers, I'm definitely number one. But this is what I say. This is the same fan base or area, the DMV, that tolerated and accepted the Strasburg shutdown. If Strasburg could get shut down for the entire MLB playoffs when his star was every bit as bright in the MLB as Jaden Daniels' star is right now, I think we could stomach missing Jaden Daniels for a single week against a non-divisional opponent if it means protecting his health long-term.
So true.
Yeah.
And the Strasburg point, while eloquent and true and accurate, I don't even think needs to be made. Like, Jaden Daniels is the franchise. It's the first year of this program. You're ahead of schedule. It's been awesome. But whatever happens this year is house money. Are you really going to push it? Are you really going to be aggressive at 5-2 to be greedy and get to 6-2 as opposed to a 5-3 record, worst case? By the way, you weren't worse without him. Mariota didn't play worse than he has played. Now, that was the Panthers. That's a bad defense. The Bears are much better. I think Daniels would play worse than Daniels has played against the Bears. I think Mariota will play worse than what he played last week against the Bears because it's the truest test and the best defense they've played. That's why I want to see him play so badly, by the way. Not for the 1-2 Williams-Daniels thing everybody cares about, but the elite offense and the really good defense matchup that I've been waiting for about a month. But to your point, yeah, people will be okay. I want to sneak in one here because this guy, Kevin, says he actually talked to him in the tunnel down where the players walk off field at the game. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Thanks for taking my call. So
You're one of the few people that's talked to Jaden Daniels, apparently.
I'm telling you, my son and I were down there. We were at the tunnel, and we saw him walk up. My son asked him for an autograph, super nice, smiling from ear to ear. And I told him about his mom's tweet, and he started laughing. And I asked him, how you doing? He's like, man, I'm good. I think he plays next week. I don't see him sitting. Like I said, he wasn't wincing. He didn't seem like he was in any sort of pain.
He did act very normal. That's kind of that's a good way to put it, right? Whether like if you're hurt, are you stopping and signing the autograph and sticking it up for a second? I don't know.
Exactly.
He was just kind of operating in the second half to me, Danny, like it was a preseason game he wasn't playing in. You know what I mean?
I do. I can't get those. Hey, I got a guy alone in the flat. I could probably score a touchdown, and I'm just going to gently sort of fall to the ground image out of my head. Like, that's not what a fine person does. Later on, he was, you know, acting as a normal person on the sideline in street clothes.
Might have had some performance enhancement.
I have no idea what happened. I don't know. He was outside my view for a while. He came back, felt a little differently. I have no clue what was going on. I just can't get those, like, wincing discomfort. I don't want any part of this, whatever this is.
Yeah, the warm-up throw happening. Where he basically writhed in pain and screamed was a thing. We're talking about a rib, ladies and gentlemen. Jaden Daniels' rib. Next on Grant and Danny, we're going to go around the NFL. We'll give you our fastest 16 minutes, but right now we're talking about a rib.
A rib.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We begin with the London game on Sunday morning. Patriots are really bad. They're 1-6. They got doubled up by the Jaguars, who were 2-5, 32-16 final. I would not be feeling very good about this coaching staff if I was a Patriots fan. I would be feeling very good about my young quarterback, though. Drake May, 2 touchdowns, no picks, threw for 276 yards in his second career start. Very athletic, made some plays with his feet, threw some dimes down the field. So far, so good for May without a whole lot of help.
That's the summary, right? There's not much help there. Jacksonville needed this one badly. They stayed in London. I think they got destroyed there a week before. Banner day for Tank Bigsby. He is better right now than Travis Etienne, the guy they spent a first-round pick on a couple seasons ago. He runs with some authority. Had a couple tutties in this game.
Seahawks blew out the Falcons 34-14. Atlanta, 3 second-half turnovers and defensive stops. Few and far between for the Seahawks in this game. Geno Smith, couple of touchdowns. Kenneth Walker scored, went for 70 yards on the ground. DK Metcalf had 99 and a tutty through the air.
This was a performance I did not expect from either team. Atlanta plays close games, win, lose, or draw. Seattle came in having lost 3 in a row. They go on the road and dominated this game. They harassed Cousins all over the field.
Josh Allen is an MVP candidate, and the Bills are 5-2. Allen, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He's got 12 touchdowns without an interception on the season, threw for a season-high 323 yards. 125 of them to his rookie, Keon Coleman. Also, Amari Cooper, welcome to Buffalo, scored in his debut, 4 catches for 66 yards. The Titans started Mason Rudolph in the game. They lose by 24. Will Levis injured.
Tennessee offensively inept. They're sad. It's not very good. Defensively, they can hang around, but you know, you keep giving another team enough chances. It was 10-7 into the third quarter until it wasn't anymore. You look up and it was 34-10. Buffalo ripped off 34 straight.
Bengals survived the Browns 21-14. Give Cleveland credit. Couple of close games in a row, even though this offense has been disgusting. Joe Burrow, couple of touchdowns, no interceptions. Chase Brown's become the back of choice out of the backfield for Cincinnati. He ran 15 times for just 44 yards. T. Higgins, 82 and a score. Jamar Chase, 55 and a touchdown. All for the Bengals. The big story, though, was on the Browns side of the ledger, Deshaun Watson. Here's how that story ended this year. When were they going to bench him? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
He tore his Achilles tendon. He will miss the remainder of the season. Jameis Winston, very likely to be the starting quarterback for the Browns moving forward. And there were fans cheering as Watson was being tended to on the field in Cleveland.
Such a mess. There's nothing good about it in any direction. There's no like, well, here's a positive. It's all gross. For Cincinnati, very quietly, I'm not saying they're good. I'm telling you, they're 3-4 and not out of the picture entirely, as long as that offense is good. They started off like gangbusters. Credit to Cleveland for staying in the football game, and they basically just got tough and stopped them pretty much throughout the rest of the day. Had a chance to win it, of course. They couldn't, but Cincinnati is 3-4 and frisky.
Really good win for the Packers home against the Texans. Yeah. Lambeau Field, 24-22. Jordan Love throws a lot of picks. He's leading the NFL with 8. He also throws a lot of touchdowns. I believe he's second to Baker Mayfield in the NFL in touchdowns with around 15. He had 3 more of those. Josh Jacobs ran for 76 yards. Romeo Doubs is back. 8 catches, 94 yards for Green Bay. C.J. Stroud only threw 21 times for 86 yards. Had his worst game of the season. Joe Mixon did run for 2 touchdowns for Houston. Close game, 24-22 final. Green Bay and Houston are both 5-2 and contenders.
Green Bay, whisper quiet. Top 10 in both offense and defense. Pretty good recipe to be one of those. What am I looking for? Oh, yeah, really good teams. They are complete. Their weakness right now, you already touched on, I was going to point it out, is the weird Jordan Love interception bug. Minus that, this is a complete football team that's really good.
Well, the whole NFC North is good, which brings us to the Lions and the Vikings. Detroit outlasting Minnesota 31-29 in the game of the weekend. Jared Goff was an MVP candidate, threw for 280 and a couple of touchdowns. Jahmyr Gibbs ran for 116. He scored 2 times on the ground. Amon-Ra St. Brown got off to a slow start this year. He was fantastic. 8 catches for 112 yards and a touchdown. Sam Darnold threw another pick, but did otherwise, I thought, have a really good game. 22 of 27 for 259 and a score. Aaron Jones ran for 93 and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson, Jetta, 7 catches, 81 yards, and a score in the loss, 31-29. Awesome game. Lions are 5-1. So are the Vikings. Packers are 5-2. Bears are 4-3.
4-2. Had a bye week.
Everybody in the NFC North is really, really good.
Detroit is excellent. They're the best team in the NFL, except they don't really have a great pass rush right now. They really miss Aiden Hutchinson. Nobody's fault. I mean, he's hurt, but you could see it reared its ugly head. Minnesota was game. They were down by two scores there in the fourth quarter. Had a fumble return for a touchdown to kind of change things. Lost on a last-second field goal. That was the game of the day.
Colts beat the Dolphins 16-10. No Tua still, although he is coming back. Said yesterday he will not be wearing a Guardian cap. Personal choice. Someone asked him, hey, what do you say to fans that are worried about you getting another concussion? He says, I really appreciate it, but I love this game to the death of me. He will be playing again. But they lost, and they have lost since he was no longer quarterbacking them. They're 2-4. In the game, by the way, Jalen Waddle, 1 catch for 11 yards, and Tyreek Hill, 1 catch for 8 yards. What are we doing here, Harry? The Colts get a win despite Anthony Richardson, 10 of 24 passing. I've seen enough. I am slamming the gavel. He ain't it. He makes plays with his feet, ran for 56 yards. He can make the occasional awesome plays, got an unbelievable arm. He is just not a starting quarterback for me. The Colts are 4-3, thanks largely to Joe Flacco.
Yeah, he's certainly not right now, talking about Richardson. Whether he will ever be, I have no idea, but we usually don't have enough patience to find out.
I don't have the time.
Yeah, that's a project. That's a team that's pretty good.
10 of 24, bro.
Yeah, that's a project, and we shouldn't be surprised at a project this year. So I don't know what you do if you're the Colts. They'll probably just play him and flounder. But for the Dolphins, they're 2-4. No one in that division, save Buffalo, is any good. Miami's in second place despite being kind of behind the eight ball. So they feel like maybe they got a chance when Tua comes back if he's able to stay healthy.
Eagles 28, Giants 3. This was a just complete destruction of New York by Philadelphia. And it was all on the ground. They really didn't have to do anything through the air. I think Jalen Hurts finished with 115 yards passing. But Saquon Barkley was on the verge of his career high. There's video that's gone around of Nick Sirianni coming over and sitting down next to him on the bench. And I don't know, it was a couple yards. He basically said, we can get it for you right here if you want your career high against your old mates here in New York. He said, no, let's let the young guys get in there and play. And that's what they did. Kenneth Gainwell, 56 yards. Will Shipley got 8 carries at the end of the game. But how about 17 for 176 with a 55-yard run back in New York for Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, he had a couple explosives. By the way, Saquon Barkley, a little bit less Tom Petty than I'd have been. I said, yeah, let me just go get that real quick. You want to boo me? Boo this.
Every time you're ready to throw dirt on the Rams, Sean McVay finds a way to get across the finish line in first. They got a 154-yard, no-touchdown performance for Matt Stafford and found a way to win 20-15. Now, the Raiders are bad at 2-5. Yes. Kyron Williams ran for 76 and scored 2 times on the ground. Tyler Johnson, team high, 57 yards receiving, had a 37-yard catch, but it was a pretty bad outing for the Raiders. They played Aiden O'Connell, who got hurt. Minshew comes in, goes 15 of 34, throws three interceptions.
I'm going to list the bright spots for the Raiders. Brock Bowers, that's the end of the list. I love watching him play football. I wish he was here. I bet a lot of teams wish he was there.
Chiefs, 49ers in San Francisco, Kansas City, a 28-18 winner. They didn't score until the second quarter. Patrick Mahomes, two picks, no touchdowns. On the season,
yeah,
he's got six touchdowns and eight interceptions and went into this week somehow. Not.
They're 6-0.
I mean, crazy. He was the number one player in MVP odds going into the weekend. Figure that out. I can't. Kareem Hunt got 22 attempts, scored two times. He's already become a bell cow.
Yeah.
He was not on the team 3 weeks ago. Their leading receiver, by the way, was Noah Gray and Samaje Perine.
Travis Kelce, a banner 4-for-17. I don't know how Kansas City's doing this. This is the Jesse Pinkman, he can't get getting away with this gift, talking about Walter White, but here they are, undefeated. Their defense is awesome. San Francisco obviously is walking wounded. They lost Brandon Ayuk for the year, probably. ACL, MCL injuries. They couldn't really throw the football particularly well, but Kansas City's defense had a lot to do with that. Really, really impressive. Finding way to win type performance, that's what champions do.
Three picks from Brock Purdy, and the Niners are super banged up. Everybody's hurt. Now I saw yesterday they lose Brandon Ayuk for the season. You mentioned some of the injuries, but Deebo Samuel to the hospital with pneumonia, also known as pneumonia.
Pneumonia.
That's scary.
Yeah.
Bad situation for them. That was your Sunday look back around the NFL. Jay's in Manassas. I want to squeeze him in really quickly. What's up, Jay? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, buddy.
By the way, we're coming out to Manassas. I don't know if you know that or not. We're broadcasting live on Friday from Manassas. It's our second field trip. Friday from 2 to 6:30, we're going to be off Sudley Road at a place called Uptown Alley in Manassas.
Oh, Manassas Mall. Yeah, I'll be there.
Good. We'll see you there.
I just wanted to say I love the show. Been faithful G&D listener for years.
Thank you.
But
everything works great. But I heard him refer to himself as the number one caller, Chris from Hyattsville. As soon as I hear you say that, I could be in the car at 66 East. I want to roll out and roll into 66 West into oncoming traffic.
Oh, no.
Y'all got to stop taking his calls. Every argument, he wants to go back to baseball from 80 years ago. I don't know if it's his weaselly voice or the fact that he'll be like, oh, and they're talking about football. Hey, Grant, do you know at the Polo Grounds, Babe Ruth popped his collar? Like, no one cares. Stop taking Chris from Hyattsville's calls. Love the show. Thank you. I'll hang up.
How about the shrapnel? Now, I guess if you come on the show and you say you're the best caller, you were opening yourselves up for some criticism.
Yeah, we're not endorsing or co-signing anything.
Yeah, I didn't agree with the word he said.
We don't normally do that where we have, like caller wars, like using us as a proxy. I don't know how to feel about that.
Well, he did stick a flag in the ground and say, I'm the best caller into the program. So he opened himself up to a little bit of heat, I would say. But I did not see that coming.
I did not.
How about that? Our double play every day at 3:45 is next. Plus, top of the hour, a little over 15 minutes from right now, someone's going to win tickets to go see Disturbed. Austin Eckler, our IT cadre, weekly conversation with him at 5, all coming your way on the Fan. Remember, we're only with you until 5:45 tonight, so enjoy it while you got it. It's precious commodity today. Caps hockey at 6. They're in Philly taking on the Flyers this evening, and then they're home tomorrow for the second half of a home-and-home back-to-back games in 2 days against the same team, which I love for the record. Hockey especially, at each other's throats, physical, banging around, crashing into each other. The home and home day by day for a Metro Division rival where it's just jumping on a train, I think that's we should do that more.
I'm not opposed to it by any stretch. So I think I'll go that far. It doesn't necessarily move me one way or the other. Like, I don't know if I like what, like, if I had two games on the same playing field, right? I'm going, which one do I like better? Playing X team or then another team or playing the same team back to back. I think it's pretty even with me. Like, to me, I get up for, if it's a rivalry game, I care about that.
The rivalry part is why, though, because there's a hatred already.
Yeah.
You're annoyed by certain players. And then when you play them twice in two nights, that series feel of how many times am I going to let this guy hit me and get away with it?
Yeah, you did this the other night, and I know what you did. I'm hunting. I get that.
I think fights go up. Some of the physicality goes up. It's just a better brand of what I enjoy. Let's get to our double play, though. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Each and every day on Grant and Danny, the double play comes your way at this time.
Bit of a sad one here, GP. Said goodbye to a classmate, a guy I've known since kindergarten, over the weekend. A bunch of folks were in town for it. Kind of just really, really hard to talk about, difficult stuff for him. Things that he was going through over the course of his life. We had known for those of us that were, you know, buddies with him, but not like incredibly close. You sort of hear from somebody for a while, hey, he's struggling, or hey, he's not doing great. And it turns out we really didn't know the depths of it as to how really hard it was at times for him. Somebody that was probably the funniest guy you'd ever meet, who was always the quickest on his feet in terms of with a joke or like the right thing to say, just a you know, in general for us, everybody has an experience with him. So many funny, hilarious, amazing, awesome memories. Like he was the kid that would say, I'll try that or I'll do that, you know. But obviously gone way too soon. Just a really, really hard thing. So the only PSA here, the only takeaway is it's really, really hard to know what somebody may be going through, you know, unless you are there, unless you are asking, unless you are doing everything you possibly can. And when they're gone, you just go, I can't believe I didn't see, or I can't believe I didn't notice, or I can't believe I didn't do more. It's that natural feeling after they've kind of gone away. So just a reminder to take a breath and be kind to folks. You do not know what they're going through. You know, when we would see him, it was always a smile and it was always kind of fun. And you never really would know the depths of the struggle. So that is my PSA to everybody. But, you know, good to see a lot of friends that I haven't seen in some time. Wish it was under better circumstances, obviously. But, yeah, that was over the weekend, man. That was a tough one.
That stinks. I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. I don't know the details, but I will also say, just kind of reading between the lines there, the other thing is, it's never a bad time to check in on anyone either.
That's what it is, yeah.
You know, it's so hard. It takes work to keep up with friends as you get older.
Yep.
You have a family. When you're single and kind of doing your own thing, it's a lot easier. But when you're married and you have kids and they have lives and you're running around doing things and you got multiple jobs, most people trying to piece together just slices of pie at this point. It really is like it takes legitimate work. It takes time and effort. But to check in on buddies and friends and people you haven't heard from, and you know, even in that way, a text could go a long way. Not that someone who's having a really tough time is going to bear it all in the response, but at least you can, you know, try to link up and get back in touch with people.
A little bit of light, yeah.
But yeah, never a bad time to just put that effort in. And with family members, tell them you love them. And, you know, I think it's one of those things we forget day to day.
Absolutely.
Double play driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. The Blitz is next. Disturbed tickets could be yours. Austin Eckler is on the show at 5, and we'll get into whether or not the Commanders can beat the Bears if Jaden Daniels doesn't play at 425.